This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Robust sports debate in the break here between Wolchuk and Schiafalo. I like that. Like, how confident can you be in the Cowboys linebackers? And, you know, what do you expect from Kenneth Murray and Jack Sanborn here? We'll do more C-Note coming up here in 20 minutes. Cowboys news of the evening on an OTA media availability Thursday. Shoddy had a lot to say. But it's a game five. And it's one of those days where I'm trying to decide the right words to give it. It's hope. It's definitely not confidence. But I'm going to go ahead and hold the line. Just get me to Saturday. You know, this team's too good to not come home desperate and ready to handle up. And after that, I think it's just like the Rangers going down 3-2 against Houston. You know, now you have momentum and you have belief. And, you know, I think this team deserves that belief. Not because of how they played against Edmonton, but what they've done with their backs against the wall since 2020. How many times did Kivi Ranta pull one out of the fire for us back there in that bubble? Sure. Wolchuk, I know you remember that well.
Absolutely. A couple big game winners.
So I know there's a 10% chance, but it feels a little bit more like 12 or 15 to me, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey, sports, it's all about the stories, right? Yeah. Dallas Stars in the history of their franchise, they've never come back from down 3-1. They got a chance to possibly be the first team in the history of the NHL to make three straight conference finals and not win Lord Stanley's Cup. You don't want that history. You want to be able to reverse this. You want to knock out Edmonton. It starts with a game at home, and you just build from there. All right, go ahead and be the first. Be the first to do it. We didn't believe in our Texas Rangers going in. Hell, we didn't really believe in our Dallas Stars going into the postseason. Look where they are now. 0-2, last year down to Vegas. Did we believe in them? No, I quit on them. I said, series over. What happened? They went on to win.
Yeah.
So, you know what? All of a sudden, you start scoring some power plays. Maybe you kill one. Goodness gracious. Could you kill one? Could you kill a power play? Oh, that'd be nice to see.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. Feed off that momentum of Shippey and the home crowd and Jeff K and company at the AAC. Just get one, and then we'll worry about going to Edmonton, getting one on the road.
Is it more about the Stars or about Edmonton?
I think it is more about the Stars' inability to execute like you've seen Edmonton execute. Edmonton has not missed their high danger opportunities. The Stars have.
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a one-sided series.
Edmonton seems like when they shoot the puck in front of the net, there's not traffic.
Right. Just they score.
They're basically point blank, and it's
the accuracy's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where that's gone wrong for the Stars in this series. I mean, it seemed like to me that there were a lot of times where they were right in front of cage and, you know, nice shots and finishes and, you know, pushing it in there. And I don't see any real sustained attack.
Yeah, there hasn't
with
been.
This team.
They have a great strategy for matching up with this team in the postseason. That's for sure. After 2 years in a row, you gotta tip your cap to them. But I guess we've seen enough moments that you can believe that they'll go win tonight and extend this series and hope they find something. But you know, how'd we freaking get here? It's just crazy to see him playing this poorly. A story in The Athletic today, Pierre LeBrun looking at Rantanen, you know, and Rantanen has great quotes. I love how humble and, you know, simple he is. He says he just tries to help the team as best he can, and he hasn't been able to do it enough to win. So he's trying to reset himself tonight. Wyatt Johnston, Pierre's take: younger players often lose all their confidence at times in early in their careers. It happens in hockey, happens in all sports, but it's just happening at the worst possible time. But the thing with confidence that's crazy is when you get it back, it can you know, lead to some great things. It really feels like Edmonton should have gotten overconfident and had a letdown by now. The fact that they haven't, doesn't it just, if you don't win tonight, it's because you come in here and you give up. And I suppose if Edmonton scores first again, I will believe that to be the case and want to turn off the television and I'll sit there begrudgingly through it.
That's not a small sample size, though.
No.
Edmonton's or anybody scoring first in the playoffs against the Stars. That's something. It used to be kind of like a neat little kind of a funny like, haha, look, oh, they scored first and Dallas is going to come back. Yeah. Now it puts the Stars in just a terrible, terrible spot.
Man, I'm not seeing a lot of confidence from either of you guys right now. How about you over here, Chief?
I mean, I feel pretty good about tonight. I do think that this will be a desperate team that comes out there in a ruckus environment and finds a way to get it done.
Crowd will get it done tonight.
But, I mean, for the series, it's hard to be hopeful at all. But like Walchuk said, you got to go one game at a time. Just stay alive tonight, and then anything can happen. They do have, I mean, I think there's some optimism with some of their lineup changes that they're going to be forced to make with some of the injuries. How can that throw things off a little bit?
Yeah.
And at this point, you're just grasping for anything. But somebody's got to step up in a big way. I think Otter will tonight.
Where you need where this is where all you need to see is what, and this is just me looking at it. Edmonton in that game four, they're in a situation where they're up in that game and they did not go into a defensive shell. They had at one point halfway through that period of
yeah,
shots
right.
8-1.
Yeah.
That's the mindset that Dallas needed to have playing in Edmonton. You know, that like we're not, you know, Dallas, yeah, there's all the shots and stuff like that, but Edmonton never stopped, even with the lead.
Why would Knobloch do that, Brian?
I think that he honestly is worried about what he saw in like the Winnipeg series or what he saw in the Avalanche series. That Dallas, there used to be a time where you with Dallas, no lead was safe.
Yeah,
no lead was safe. But you get Dallas on the road, they can't score.
Well, they can't right now.
They can't score.
But they've been the kings of the odd man rush. And if you as a coach decide we're not scared, we're sending this thing,
yeah,
you don't respect their ability to turn you over at center ice.
I have the utmost respect for Edmonton's defense, for the guys that play in the back.
You should.
Because they do not let pucks get out of the offensive zone.
They're so confident in their ability to not turn it over.
Not turn it over and
we're
keep
playing
pucks
free and easy.
In.
We don't have to pack anything in because you ain't going to take it from us.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to watch a team that was better than them in the regular season beat them 3 out of 4. You know, be so thoroughly whooped right now. It's pretty dang frustrating. It's been a great year, though. And I think you do have to have confidence Jim Nill is going to retool and have an exciting team coming back next year one way or another. I mean, who do you have more confident that can get to 3? The Rangers or the Stars right now?
Oh, the Stars. Yeah, I mean, the Stars still have a really, really good young nucleus of players. But this, I mean, in terms of just the depth of their team, this year definitely is, you're kind of looking at this is your time. This is the moment. That's why this hurts so much. Why it's like, guys, find a way. Find a way to come back. Don't drop this opportunity because you're now, I think you got $5 million in cap space. They had the benefit this year of the long-term IR where they're able to put Miro there and then you're able to kind of utilize that, open up some cap space because it doesn't. They're able to use that little weird quirk.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Sagan hurt again next year too.
Yeah, I mean, all that benefited them. So, yeah. I mean, eventually you're going to have to pay Thomas Harley.
Man, Sagan's looking pretty good. Just sit out the whole year, come back, play 10 games. And
I wonder if they lose tonight, that it costs Pete DeBoer's job.
You know, that's an interesting question. I can imagine moving on from that guy.
I worked with Dave Campo. We were bad 5-11 three straight years. You get why a guy loses his job because we were bad. But you wonder if, in fact, is that the thing holding you back? And somebody always gets sacrificed when things don't work out like they're supposed to be. And I wonder, and do I agree with it? Absolutely not. But I wonder if, in fact, the front office is going to look at this as like, we need a different voice in that room. Hmm. We need a different voice when it comes to these finals to push through.
I can't imagine doing that with a guy who's gotten you this far 3 years in a row and is undefeated in game sevens.
But somebody is going to be, and it might be Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn and others might be sacrificed here.
Yeah, there's not.
If it doesn't work. But I wonder.
Something's got to change.
And I'm with you. I do not agree with firing that coach. I do not agree with that at all, if that's the case. But I wonder if in the organization that they're going to make a determination that we have got to do something different. We have the talent. We have, you know, we have to do something different here. A different voice when it comes to these finals.
Do you trust Jim Nill as much in a coaching decision as much as the personnel, Walchuk?
No, I'd trust him way more in personnel than coaching. I mean, yeah. How many coaches would he have fired now?
Yeah.
3-4
Well, one of them was because of like off the field
one,
stuff.
Yeah, Monty, Jim Montgomery, I get that. But then Rick Bonus, Ken Hitchcock, now Pete DeBoer. You know, I don't think they move on from Pete, but there will be that topic. I mean, that sure. conversation's going to be had.
I'm saying this right now. I don't agree with it, but there's always, if they don't win tonight and they get eliminated, something is going to happen. That guy is not going to sit there and
you can't run it back anymore.
You've run it back. That's the problem.
Yeah. You need some kind of a shakeup, and I think new captain.
You will have a new captain. I mean, I don't believe Jamie Benn's coming back. He's a free agent after this year. If I were him, I think it's time to retire.
Okay. Do you think the Rangers are really going to move on from Garcia and Semien? Could we see that tomorrow? Like, what is Evan Grant talking about? What's Boach talking about? I'm surprised Sands was giving Semien as long as he was, but it appears that that's not going to happen. I think the swaps with maybe Smith as your second baseman and maybe with Evan Carter coming back, you just don't need to play these guys. So I think we're heading for that, and it's a big day off here for the Rangers and possibly some big decisions tomorrow throughout the show. So Rangers fans, I know you're not losing faith either. Congrats to the Thunder for making the finals. Man, it's a tremendous team. And Sam Presti, the GM, is finally getting his flowers. He's getting his flowers once again. He's built a number of great teams over the years. But, you know, this one's probably going to end up getting in the job done unless the Pacers can have something to say about that. But I think it's, for me, my takeaway here is right now it is sad to see the world turn on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Because he's amazing as a player, and he's amazing and as a guy and as a leader, and he is what is right about sports. But he is so damn good at drawing fouls that aren't fouls, you know. And he's not as bad as James Harden was at that. That was horrible when James used to like do-si-do guys. He'd be dribbling and just like hook you and then run and flop, and that was bad. And this isn't as bad, but he's so good at turning the corner and then like getting low and pretending that your hip hit him and then falling down. And it's like, oh no, please stop. I just hope technology can fix this. You know, Shai is doing everything in his power to win, and it's not as bad as banging on the trash cans for the Astros or Nurse hitting Rupe Hintz. But I understand how fans get so damn frustrated with this. I just hope the technology fixes it. You know, like, can cameras and computers and AI get good enough that they're going to be able to tell nobody hit you? You initiated that contact, you barely got hit, and then you fell to the ground. I'm hoping there's some sort of tech savior out there in the future, because...
Robot refs.
If I was Shai, I would do that too. Like, I can get to the free throw line. All I have to do is like kind of dribble into you and then fall down. I'm just not good enough, you know, or quick enough to get the opponent there in that sort of compromise situation. But haters are out for SGA now. I mean, he went from great smile, model looks, perfect leader to maybe the most hated man in basketball right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you're on the best team and you're just running through the playoffs like they are for the most part, I mean, other fan bases, it's almost a tip of the cap of respect. Like, of course you hate me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thunder fans can't get enough of this guy.
They're hating Patrick Mahomes, too. I guess that's what you sign up for.
And it's not like he's getting 15 free throws a game.
No, he had
He
was 4-for-4. Anthony Edwards had 6. This might be the most overblown media narrative, I think, that we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, it's not as bad as D Wade. I mean,
this
we
SGA foul thing. Like, you had the numbers that came out in terms of like the percentage of. It's not even close to the most.
Yeah, through the first 12 games of the playoffs, he ranked like 500th in terms of the all time players.
So it's not even real.
It's not real.
I think it might be more frustrating because of how physical the Thunder play defense.
Yeah.
So you're watching your guy get worked and then their guy get to the free throw line and foul hunt.
That's a great point. Here's
the combination. Well, I mean, Alex Caruso, I just saw this. He's forced 34 turnovers during their finals run.
Mm-hmm.
He's been unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, that acquisition they made was huge. Defensively, Alex Caruso has been unbelievable.
Can't screen him. You can't screen him. The guy has such feel for how to play. We talked about this a few days ago, how high he plays and his ability. You can't switch him. You know, he knows how to play, you know, through screens, under screens. It's just he's a hard guy to deal with that way. So yeah, it's a good It's good defense the way he's at it.
Yeah, like, I just don't understand, like, the 972, and maybe I'm just, I am stupid, but it's how he gets to the line. It's not how much. So the four times he just got to the free throw line, or really the two times.
I mean, all players are doing some of that.
He got to the free throw line, upset you.
The smart ones are.
That's why we hate the player. Mm-hmm. That's a little, it's weird.
I remember this like it was yesterday, though, in about 1986. Terry Porter's in the corner, point guard for the Trailblazers. He pump fakes. I think Byron Scott goes in the air. Mm-hmm. And then while he's in the air, Porter jumps into him. And the ref's like, tweet, foul. And I'm like, they can do that?
It's like, yeah. Luka.
You can pump fake a guy in the air, then jump into him, and it's a foul on him?
Yeah. That's right.
I'm like, oh, okay. And that was kind of the beginning of it. And it's been evolving for 40 years now. Okay, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. OTAs are off and running. Shoddy answered a ton of questions, including why he wears that visor. What's the team's offensive identity going to be? Yeah, I know you like that one, Brian.
Boy, my favorite one.
So we'll
Ari Temkin next to talk about offensive identity.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the nation. All right, here we go. It's week two of OTAs. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. Call me crazy, but I think they've done a lot. And right now, I expect them to do more in July and August and have a playoff team. Am I crazy? I think that's what George Pickens does for this football team. And I think Jaden Blue is going to be really good at 877-881-1053. If you'd like to leave your name and city you're texting from, we'll make you famous here in the G-Bag Nation. How optimistic are you right now? I think sentiment's incredibly low. I think there's going to be a learning curve for Shoddy, no doubt. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Look at this. Luchas is watching these boat ramp fails. This is some of the best content on the internet. These guys, they get these fancy boats. They don't know how to get them off and on a ramp.
On the ramp, yeah.
Yeah. There's something to it.
Yeah, good.
It's harder than
alcohol-related incidents, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Very entertaining, though.
Yes.
Especially if it's not your boat.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I can imagine the anxiety there and thinking, oh, my God, what is the wife going to say to me?
Yeah.
You know, where's the boat, honey? So you got the trailer.
Or if that's your buddy, you hanging out with it, you're hanging out with him that day?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what to do. You're just like, oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
You all right, bro?
You see him go through it. I think it's flooded. Should we hit the gas? Or is there somebody we can call? Is there like a tow truck driver for boats? Now here comes the good old boy that knows how to do it. He can back in the trailer and get you out of there. 1 week into OTAs, though, at 877-881-1053. Where is your confidence meter in this? You know, I think the D-line, like Solomon Thomas and Fowler, this adds like veteran know-how. With grown men strength, along with Micah. And, you know, I do think their defensive line is going to be so good, maybe not in short yardage situations, but in regular down and distance situations, I think this defensive line has a chance to be freaking nasty. If they were fourth last year, yeah, the pass rush, yeah.
I think like that aspect of it, I'm very confident in. I think that's the only thing I'm confident in when it comes to the defense in general right now is just that you will have a good pass rush.
Yeah, you will. And I think we saw with the Niners that sometimes a great defensive line, can make your secondary better. Now, you're not going to have the linebackers that San Francisco had. But I think you're only weak with Mozzie and Toya. You're only weak at one technique. How many snaps is that a game, right? And it's one guy. Everywhere else, I think you're at least sufficient or really dang good. And a lot of it comes back to the offense and can you play with a lead? And if you can do that, like this is requiring, I got to go out and see Dak being capable of scoring more than the 21 points per game that he did.
Yeah,
in the
they had a couple games last year where they got blown out and the opposing quarterback only threw the ball 15 times.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing more demoralizing than watching somebody run the ball.
What's weak? Like I mean, Kenneth Murray Jr., Did not get great scores in Tennessee.
No.
But as a starter, not the worst starter in the league. No. Same with Sanborn.
They could have done worse.
Yeah, I mean,
Sanborn, the Sanborn one is really, really, really interesting because there's people that I really trust in Chicago that are like, they should have never given up on this guy. And it was because of a new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you might have got a guy that you took advantage of a, you know, you always look at those teams, they have new general manager, new coaching staff. They always move on from players. And the fact that Flus was able to get something out of this guy for 3 years, I'm totally okay with what they've
I mean, I'm putting Fowler on the field with Parsons and Osa. Like, you got your hands full already. I'm bringing pressure from three different spots. You better run the ball. you know, that's the way I look at it. Like, if you can't run the ball, you're in for a day against us right now. And I'm hoping offensively, you know, with Jadon Blue, I think offensive rookie of the year is probably a long shot. You know, when you look at all the different players and all the different situations.
Ashton Jeanty, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of other backs that have a shot. Maybe, quarterbacks, if one of them ends up stepping up. But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at a guy that could end up being your most explosive back, I think 100%. The fumbles are my only concern with Blue. That was a big problem at Texas. He's got to get that figured out. But I think he's going to be giving you a lot of chunk plays. But, yeah, JT in the middle, I mean, I'm hopeful that he ends up being your starting one tech as the season goes along.
But then, like, the 972, Pickens gives me a lot of hope. Because I think how you're going to change those dynamics. Now, they are going to be begging you to run. The boxes are going to be light.
Yeah.
I don't know what Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders can give you. But if they are solid veterans, you know, in the low to mid-4 yard per attempt range, then I think you have a good running game. And this team wants to run the ball. Unlike Mike McCarthy, they actually understand. If we ask Dak to pass it 35 times a game, we will lose 80% of the time. So we're not doing that. And, you know, that's been line one, really, from Kellen Moore to Scott Linehan and Mike McCarthy. They never got Dak back to really what 2016 was, which was a team that ran more than it passed and gave him third and shorts. Okay, Pro Football Focus has ranked the top tight ends. Kelsey, a big talking point. He's
they
now
ranked the top quarterbacks, you said?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, we got the quarterbacks.
Where is Dak?
I think we've done that a couple times here.
All right.
But
all right.
Dalton Schultz is 13th, by the way. Jake Ferguson, 17th. So I do think they made the right decision moving on from Dalton Schultz. But Dallas Goedert is still 8th. He's been around. But yeah, Kelsey out of the top 5. Here's what they say about Ferguson. He looked like a tight end on the cusp of cracking the top 10 a year ago before the Cowboys' struggles and injuries caused the decline in production and grading for the third-year Badger. Ferguson enjoyed a bounce-back 25 campaign. His 56 PFF receiving grade and 4 fumbles are worrisome for his outlook. Are we having to pull the plug on this Jake Ferguson thing?
No, I'm going down with the ship.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, I think Ferguson will be back with a vengeance. Having Dak is obviously going to be huge. And then, like, defenses aren't really going to be accounting for him when they got to worry about Lamb and Pickens.
He might be the one that benefits the most out of the Pickens deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just feel like the hands, the toughness, you know, and, you know, he was a good target for Dak up the seam. You imagine how much space he's going to have to operate. Our old buddy Dalton Miller writing for Pro Football Focus as well. He graded and ranked all 32 teams, but the Cowboys at 15th.
In terms of just like
overall
roster?
Yeah, overall roster.
Is Dalton a Cowboys fan?
Yeah.
Is he?
From Philadelphia, right?
He's
Cowboys fan
Pennsylvania.
From Pennsylvania?
Yeah, he is a Cowboys fan.
Okay,
why do you think he's
no? I'm asking. I'm just asking because I think he was. I'll just put him in the middle of the pack. We'll be okay. Nobody will get. I get away with this. If I put him too high, I'm a homer.
Yeah,
I put him way down. No,
you think he's right and scared? Well, I got to acknowledge the fact he's not clickbaiting because if I was going to write an article about that, I'm putting him in the top 10 or the bottom 10. I mean, the average.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're probably closer to thinking that this team might be towards the
bottom
18, 19, 20 area than
top
they
third,
were
chief.
Than the top 15.
Top third.
Top third. Go with it.
Cool. What are they closer to right now at 877-881-1053? Top third or bottom third, Brian?
I would say bottom third.
Bullchuck? I love this. Say bottom third.
Well, with the cornerback injuries, yeah, it's closer to bottom third right now.
You hear that, G-Bag Nation. I'm the most positive person about these Cowboys right now. That's something.
You gonna pick them to win the division?
Didn't think we'd live to see the day.
They're probably not drawing confidence and optimism from that stat, but
today's the flip, tomorrow's the flop.
I'm not flip-flopping on this one. Hold me to it. This is a top 10
roster in football.
A lot of unknowns, man. It could be, but I mean,
I think the unknowns make them bottom third.
Yeah, alone. that's why I lean closer to bottom third right now. Yeah. There's a possibility if Booker hits, if Guyton steps up, if the linebackers end up being as good as I'm hoping that they are, if your corners get back quicker than right now, we're being pessimistic on Diggs, right? Mm. We don't know for sure on Savone Rovell, but maybe if those guys are able to be back closer to the middle of the season than the end of the season. Yeah, I mean, there's a chance that they end up, winning the division. I don't think that's foolish. It's just when you get into the playoffs, it's a totally different conversation because I don't think your quarterback's good enough.
Yeah, he certainly has not been good enough. But how could you say that when you see guys like Brock Purdy getting there and Nick Foles winning it? Because I've seen those guys
in the playoffs, game on the line, they go out there and they somehow find a way to get a drive. I've seen Dak Prescott have multiple opportunities and fail. So I don't believe in the game's biggest moment, he's going to be able to go out there and do what needs to be done. Unfortunately,
Wolchuk, he's never had that good of a team.
Yeah, I think he's had, at some point, everything that we've wanted. And then we continue to just move the goalposts.
If you go back in the last 10 years, in individual years, he had a pass rush or he had the receivers. But he's never had them all at the same time.
And he's never going to.
He had this.
Well, then how can you keep, but you can't compare him to guys that did and say, well, Dak can't do that.
Nick Foles?
It's his teammates that can't do that.
Nick Foles didn't. That Eagles team that won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles' version in 2017, go look at that roster and tell me they had everything. They didn't. Alshon Jeffrey was their number one wide receiver. That dude was out of the league 2 years afterwards.
It was a better team.
I don't think that roster was better than any of the best Cowboy teams. I think the 2016 Cowboys team roster was better. 2021, when they got San Francisco at home in the wild card game, and they had that crappy, we're going to go try and spike it after the... You had Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb.
The first Eagles defense had that incredible defensive line. How many sacks did they have that year?
They had a good defensive line. The Cowboys did too in 2022.
This defense this year was great, and they were amazing passing the ball or running the ball. Man. I mean, they won with Jalen Hurts.
They held the 49ers to 24 points, and then what was it, 19?
You know what the difference
was? Quarterback
couldn't
score enough.
He had a visor head coach on the sidelines, and now Dak has one as well.
Doug Peterson?
The missing ingredient.
I love it.
Maybe
well,
it is shoddy.
The visor makes more sense than saying Dak just isn't good enough.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm surprised you'd say that.
What about the team that was second overall that lost to Green Bay?
Yeah, and what happened that day? Your defense was that a played good terrible, team or was that a bad your quarterback team? I played terrible.
I'm trying to remember
how. You didn't have any linebackers on that team.
Yeah, you were just. It was the exact example of what the NFL is going to now, where you're playing Marquise Bell at linebacker.
Sure.
And they're taking advantage of that. But your defense also did stink that game. And then Dak's throwing interceptions on a slant route to Brandon Cooks. Mm. But I don't know how many times you need to see somebody have a chance to do it. You're in your 10. I can't continue to defend the quarterback. He's not good enough. In the biggest moments, on the biggest stage, it hasn't happened come playoff time. He's done it once against Seattle.
I mean, Pat Mahomes has failed to score 10 points twice.
But Pat Mahomes has never not made it to an AFC championship game in his entire career as a starting quarterback.
I know, but I'm just saying it's sample size, right? Like,
yeah.
Dak is jumping into these situations where
size.
He's outmanned instantly. He does not have the better roster. When he does, he's won.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't.
Massive, massive problems. How are you going to beat Green Bay when your defense is giving up 200 yards to Aaron Jones?
They had a better roster than Green Bay.
Did they?
Yes. We all thought they would steamroll Green Bay.
Did they play such a crappy regular season schedule that it looked like they were better?
No.
I mean, you can't stop the run. You can't run. In 2016, all you had was Tank.
In 2016, that's
all you had.
The defense was mid in 2016. I'll give you that. But you had the best offensive line in the game and the best running back in the game.
So what wins championships?
And Dez Bryant, who was still pretty damn good.
I mean, I don't want to go Nico on you here, but don't you need a good defense to win? You need a top 10 defense. Tom Brady never won one without a top 5 defense.
You're right. I think you definitely need a good defense. But you'll give him the great defense, which he had when they shut down the 49ers, and then Dak and the offense can't score any points.
Well,
so whose fault is that?
I don't know whose fault
it is. The
defense did their
job.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out how, whenever I go on a remote, at least one Tolo says, "Hi, Gavin, I really like you, even though I don't agree with your Dak takes." They look at me as I'm the biggest Dak hater, but I like him more than you now.
I don't know if you like him more than I do. I think I've just come to the realization.
I just heard.
Let's have a like-off.
We get into the postseason, and this is what's happening.
I was the one
that tried to defend the hell out of him for years, up until the second
playoffs,
San Francisco game.
Playoffs, yeah.
But what you're doing right now is you're letting the Joneses off the hook. They love this. Yeah, blame Dak.
I'm not letting them off the hook. The roster sure isn't good enough. There's a ton of different problems. Dak isn't the only problem, but he's a part of it.
Sorry, I just saw that boat completely turn upside down.
Oh, no, did it really?
Yeah. They tied a strap to the tailgate and tried to drive away, and it tumped it over.
Even the helper guy couldn't get it figured out. He's got that big King Ranch or whatever he's got for no good reason.
Yeah. Okay, what are you doing, Dawson, said the 817. I'm just trying to say I think Dak is a good enough quarterback to win the Super Bowl. That's it. You don't think so, Brian?
No.
Wow. And you don't think so, Chief?
No.
In the ultimate perfect scenario with the perfect coach and roster, is it possible?
What usually wins the Super Bowl?
I would say that there is a greater than 0% chance.
No, it usually does. The Eagles have done it.
In this organization, there is zero chance this quarterback can win a Super Bowl.
I agree with you 100%. I think Chief just won that segment with one sentence.
Well, and he certainly hasn't been the solution to all the problems.
So all we needed to say was it's Jerry's fault that they're not going to win the Super Bowl. We would have won the segment.
No, Dak can't win. Jerry in the front office is a bigger problem than Dak, but Dak is also a problem.
There's nobody that's rode the horse into battle more than you about moving on from Dak.
Yes, I still stand on that. There's no way you should have paid him the money that you paid him.
I was just wondering. I was just making sure.
Yeah, I still very much so believe that Dak is not good enough to win the Super Bowl here.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure I heard from you because you're, and I feel like rightfully so. I feel rightfully so. You were all about moving on from the quarterback, and I was like, no, man. No, I mean, they've gone through these court. No, man, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. I'm with Wolchuk now. I'm with Wolchuk.
There's no way. He would get there with a great running game and a great defense and pee down his leg for four quarters?
I mean, I still wouldn't be betting on it. Absolutely not. Especially at this stage with the injuries.
Show me something different. I saw really a great game against Tampa one time against Tom Brady and them. Saw one game.
It was an 8-9 Buccaneers team.
I saw one game like that.
I guess Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson and Joe Flacco can't hold Dak's jock in the regular season, but they're so clutch that once you get to the playoffs, it's not their supporting cast, but their magical QB ability that guides them to the promised land.
I will say Flacco, he did channel something on that playoff run.
Ignoring the parts in those playoff games where you needed him to be the guy, and he didn't do it. The rest of the team, you're looking at the defense step up, they did their part. And your quarterback, who you needed to, who had two opportunities against San Francisco, didn't do it. Did not do it. He was unable to put 20 points on the board. Yeah. That's an issue. That's a problem. And I can't say after seeing it time and time again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he does it this year. I hope he goes to the Super Bowl and wins it, man. And I got egg on my face. I'd love it. But I can't stand on the limb and be like, oh, it's going to happen. I've had my heart ripped out and stomped on because I had the faith and it's gone unrewarded. He shrinks when he's got the biggest opportunity to go have the legacy drive. He's pooped on himself.
There have been some bad moments in the fourth quarter. My confidence is not high at all when it comes to a game-winning drive. Hopefully, George Pickens changes that.
There we go.
All righty.
Pickens a quarterback.
Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though. Where are you taking it,
Brian?
Yeah,
we got some people who have some thoughts about this OTA practice, and we got Todd Archer at the top of the hour. We'll do all that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Next. Yeah, buddies, welcome back. G-Bank Nation 105.3 The Fan. Time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. Quick question, Lucius. I got a question for you, sir.
What?
Wear a lot of hats. You wear a lot of hats.
I sure do.
How do you clean your hats?
There's this little thing I bought off of Amazon.
You call the Curvins?
I don't know what it's called, but it's like the shape of a hat. You put your hat in the dishwasher.
In the dishwasher.
Yeah, and it does its thing.
I just saw a thing. I think I said it right. Curvins. It's like a steamer. It's like a, you put it in a bubble. They got bubble, and you you know, always. It's funny how all these gadgets always show up on my timeline because I always look at cooking items. But this one happens to be a way to kind of steam clean your hat.
That's good, man, because in summertime your hat can get a little funny.
Oh, yeah.
You're wearing your hat that smell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the rim of my damn hat.
Yeah, you can get that hat will turn a little yellow on you.
You're funny looking on you.
You're a little funny looking, but
it becomes a fishing hat all of a sudden.
Yeah, I've put my hat in the dishwasher before, you know, and done it that way. But I was like, man, this is pretty cool. But it steam cleans it.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up, man. What'd you say the name was?
Kervins, I think. K-E-R-V-A.
I got plenty of that on my timeline already.
Kervins, yeah. But yeah, check it out. I'm not endorsing. I'm just saying it looked cool how they steam clean hats. Like it came out like this beautiful hat. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. All right, we got the OTA practice today. We got Todd Archer at the top of the hour.
Dot.
And this is, I hate not being there, but Bobby Belt was nice enough. I know Bobby's got you guys in the mix of what's going on here. So I want to kind of read some of his observations, maybe read some of Todd's observations too. And then we have Todd on. We can ask him some more questions. But some of the things, and I hope I'm not selling Bobby out here, but here's some of his observations from practice, and you guys can comment on if you feel.
Bobservations.
You're amazing.
Let's just get that segment started tomorrow in the morning.
You are amazing. Bobservations.
The Bobservations.
I like that. All right, Bob said it was a much better day for Joe Milton. He said
he didn't throw two interceptions to linebackers that we're not sure are even making the team.
Nope.
That's a step in the right direction.
Threw the right color jerseys today.
Atta baby.
He had Bobby said he had two or three really nice throws to traffic over the middle. So that's a switch from what we heard last week. It seemed like to me that there were some problems with linebacker play.
Right.
That he wasn't seeing the linebackers particularly well. But I also had somebody tell me that he just didn't look completely comfortable. So I'm interested to see, in talking to Archer, if we get a Milton question, did he look more comfortable today of knowing what's going on? He said both the running backs, Williams and Sanders, were the backs. Blue and Vaughn were running with the twos.
All right.
Okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Javonte Williams is going to be your RB1. I think that's what's going to end up happening. Miles Sanders, I think, ends up being cut. Like we saw Ronald Jones last year. I think your leading back's going to be Javonte Williams. Jaden Blue will be your number two. And then your number three will end up being Phil Maffa. That's my May 29th prediction.
I hope I'm really wrong about Phil Maffa.
I think Phil Maffa's better than you think he is. I like him a little bit more than you do.
I have some excitement about him. I'm hopeful that he can be a young bruiser.
Please, I hope you guys are right.
Someone said LeGarrette Blunt, and I just haven't got that out of my head. I mean, if you give me LeGarrette Blunt.
There were other running backs that I liked more, but they were gone by the time the Cowboys were
Allen,
draft Maffa.
They were gone.
Krosky Merritt
went after Maffa. Like the pick after to the Commanders.
I would have probably taken Krosky Merritt.
I would have too. But I'm interested to see. Bobby said again, a lot of high energy, a lot of competitiveness, more juice atmosphere at practice than recent years. Is that a slam at Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're playing the music, you're being positive. I think it's also Mike Zimmer. You know, yeah. I know that's your guy, but I think he's kind of old and grumpy.
Hate my guy, Mike Zimmer.
I love Mike Zimmer. You know,
what is up with you today?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question, Brian. I'll just slow down.
But Zimmer.
No, I love it. I think it's been a phenomenal show.
No, it's been really good.
We're having good debates.
Yeah. At this point in the program, I feel like we're on a really good run.
It's a long show today, Dawson. You've done a good job.
Well,
I mean, you've got delusional believers.
Just don't be like the Stars where you empty the tank in the first period.
What I'm good at, I will warn you guys, is noticing when the public is just run away with a narrative and you're all drinking each other's Kool-Aid right now on how bad this team is.
All right.
I mean, I think they're going to win the division, Gavin.
I love this. Just remember.
But they'll be one and done.
They're still a few miles away from the Super Bowl.
How about this one?
It'll be what we usually see.
Bobby says in the base defense, Bland at corner, with a rotation of Elam with the 1A and Booth 1B.
Oh, gosh.
I loved Sean this morning when Bobby brought up Andrew Booth's been getting some work, and Sean just goes, why is Andrew Booth still here? And that's a question that I think everybody should be asking.
That's the status of your corner room right now.
One of the worst things about last year we don't talk about is that injury to Butler. Right?
Yeah, he was playing great. Yeah.
And he's physical and he was giving you something. I know he's slower. You know what? But, I mean, that was something. That was something to build on. They need another corner.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe. We're going to see things in July and August.
No, I think they're going to do some things. Yeah.
I'm with you.
When they go to nickel, it was bland in the slot, Bobby said. Good days for Jonathan Mingo and Jalen Brooks. Bobby said that. He also said standard O-line group. He said Hoffman was rotating in with the ones for some snap or two. I asked at guard or at right guard or center. Bobby said he rotated in with the ones at center is what he did.
And Booker's got that right guard job.
Yeah, hopefully so. Bobby also said that Nealon and Turner with the first team on the defensive ends. Thomas and Mozzie at the defensive tackles with JT in for one or two with the ones. So they're rotating him in with Mozzie already with the ones.
That's good. I'm hoping he's a guy that can be a lot more valuable than where you drafted him.
I asked Bobby about Turner playing left end because I think that's kind of where he needs to be. Bobby said, I think he did some flipping, but noticed him at right end with Ezeraku standing. And then we talked about that. That's kind of a thought of maybe he was taking the Micah Parsons position in this since Micah is not there. Also, he said during the 7-on-7 period, they let Elijah Clark, the safety from Syracuse.
Mm-hmm. They love him.
Yeah, he got some work during the 7-on-7. They let him he was with the ones a couple of times. So maybe there's something going on with these safeties that we need to kind of keep our eye on for sure. All right. Let's see. I had what Todd Archer was saying here. Todd had some observations. Well, again, we're going to have Todd here at the top of the hour. We can kind of ask him some more of the questions, but he had kind of a nice thread. He said, just some observations from him in this last couple of minutes. He said CeeDee Lamb was unable to come up with a deep ball that Dak Prescott from Prescott. He later dropped to do some push-ups. He said George Pickens did some push-ups right alongside of him. First time Archer said he's ever seen that. He said Jerry Jones made practice appearance, spoke briefly with the number of players with Williams, Jake Ferguson, and Elam is what he offered. And let's see what else we got here from Todd Archer. He said he called a good day for Miles Sanders. The veteran running back broke a good run up the middle and then was able to break free on a screen. So Sanders catching the football. He mentioned about, Jonathan Mingo. Bobby had the same thing. Made a nice diving catch from Joe Milton in the team pass drills. It was Milton's best throw was a seam route to Princeton Fant on there.
Yeah, he can let him rip.
And my final Todd Archer observation before we get to him was that Sam Williams looks good close to his return from his torn ACL. He went through the series of change of direction drills while attached to the cords and looked no worse for wear. The team is being smart as he comes back from the eye being full, ready to go at training camp. So.
Well, thank you, Brian. I got a lot of questions on those takeaways, and it's good because Todd Archer's coming up next.
Todd Archer's next. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad we got some of these observations out, though.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We got Hoop coming up at 4:20. Chief will lay out a rim session for you. And Sans, is Sans coming up at 4:40? I believe he is. I'm going to have to double-check with him, though, because it's not a Rangers game day. We're back with Todd Archer here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.